You're going to open your Bibles with me tonight to the book of James. James chapter 4. It's almost 8:30 by my watch. And I just want to see if tonight I can give you a brief Bible study on the subject when prayer doesn't work. So many of you said, but Barry, I tried praying and it didn't work. Now, James was a fellow who had the gift of exhortation. And a person who has the gift of exhortation is very practical. He's a how-to Christian. And as you read the book of James, he's always telling us how to do things. And James tells us in the 4th chapter that if your prayers are not being answered, and when prayer doesn't work, there are some reasons why prayer doesn't work. And he shares those with us in these first 4 verses. He says, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and you do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. Now, by the way, one reason many prayers are never answered is because they're never prayed. And James says in verse 2 that one of our great problems in the church is not unanswered prayer, but what? Unoffered prayer. You do not have because you do not ask. And I'm convinced the great sin of my life, as well as the great sin of your life, is not unanswered prayer, but what? Unoffered prayer. We do not seek. We do not knock. We do not avail ourselves of the power of God through prayer. And James says, you do not have because you do not ask. Verse 3, you ask, and this is the problem for many of you. You've asked and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Now, sometimes when God does not answer, sometimes when you pray and you feel like your prayer is not working, and I know that among the 500 prayer requests that we prayed through yesterday for 24 hours, there are going to be many people that somehow Satan will fill their hearts with doubt, and you'll say, well, I turned in a request and we prayed, but God has not answered. It didn't work. Prayer doesn't work. Well, let me just say very briefly tonight 3 reasons why prayer does not work, and if it doesn't work, what you should do. First of all, if you pray and God does not answer, then you ought to, first of all, look at yourself. Notice what James says in this 4th chapter. Look at yourself, he says. You ought to look at your life. Verse 2, you lust and you do not have. You commit murder. You're envious. You cannot obtain. You quarrel. You fight. In other words, he says sin has a whole lot to do with unanswered prayer. Amen? There's a certain kind of life that can pray. And we spent a whole message last Sunday night talking about a life that can pray. And I guess we could just quote 2 verses tonight. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me when I pray. We're told again in Isaiah 59, verse 2. The Bible says through the lips of Isaiah, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Listen, your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Now, when the Bible says that God does not hear, that is synonymous with saying that God refuses to answer. Now, God hears all of our prayers. But when Isaiah says he will not hear, it simply means he refuses to answer because your sins, your iniquities, have separated between you and your God. There is a life that can pray. And if you are praying and your prayers are not being answered, the first thing you ought to do is to look at yourself. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 21 and 22, the Bible says that we can have confidence in prayer if our heart does not condemn us. But if our heart condemns us, it's going to keep us from praying. And he says in verse 22 of 1 John 3 that we are to keep his commandments and to do the things that are pleasing in his sight. And that little verb keep is in the present tense in the original language. And the best way to translate it is, if you come to the place of prayer and you try to pray, the thing that will help your prayers to be answered is if you day by day, moment by moment, are continually keeping the commandments of God. Obedience is one of the great conditions to answered prayer. And if your prayers are not working, if your prayers are not being answered, I simply suggest that you look at your life. You look at your manner of living. And if your manner of living is contrary to the will of God, if you're not obeying, then your prayers are not going to be answered. Now listen, the reason some of you do not pray more than you do, the reason some of you are not getting answers to your prayers is that you are on this occasional obedience kick. You obey God on Sunday and during your prayer time. And so what you do, you get all prayed up just before you pray, and you pray your prayer, and then you go out the rest of the week and you don't obey. You cannot occasionally be obedient. It's he who is continually being obedient that God will answer his prayers. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, we're told in James chapter 5. So look to your manner of living if your prayer is not being answered. Secondly, look at your motive. He says in verse 3, you pray and you do not have because you ask what? You ask from the wrong motives. You pray amiss. You're praying with wrong motives. Now, my friend, there are many times when we pray, God doesn't answer prayer because we pray from the wrong motive. I've had a housewife say this to me. She was praying for her husband to be saved, and I said, now, why is it that you want your husband to be saved? She says, well, because I go to a couple Sunday school class, and she says, it's so embarrassing for me to go to Sunday school by myself. And I just want my husband to be saved, so I'll have somebody to drive me to church. And she was serious. I'm so tired of going by myself, and it's such a disgrace to me not to have people ask where my husband is. Now, what was the problem? God was not saving her husband because she was praying from the wrong motive. Praying from the wrong motive. James says, you ask amiss. Maybe you've been praying for a raise in your job. Or maybe you've been praying for a new job. You've been praying for a raise in pay, a higher salary, and you haven't gotten it. Well, let me ask you something, friend. Are you faithful to tithe the income of the salary that you already have? You can pray for God to give you a raise and pay till hell freezes over, and God ain't going to do it. So you get faithful and become a steward of what you already have. You're praying from the wrong motive. It would just give you more money to spend on yourself out of fellowship with God, and God's not going to answer that prayer. We pray from wrong motives many, many times. Sometimes we pray for healing. And we pray for somebody to be healed. And sometimes God doesn't answer. And it's hard to know why when you pray for healing that God doesn't answer. But I want you to know this. There's sometimes when we pray for healing for ourselves or for others that God cannot answer, because God in his foreknowledge knows that if he were to heal you or to heal that person, all it would do would be to continue or to extend your life of carnality and selfishness. Do you know that the only time in the Bible Jesus ever refused to answer a prayer was the thief on the cross? The unrepentant thief. Have you ever noticed that? Here was one who cried out and he said, if thou be the Son of God, save thyself and us. Jesus didn't even acknowledge that request. You know why? Because if Jesus had saved that unrepentant thief, if he had spared his life, all it would have done is continue and extend and give him more time to sin against God. Many times God cannot answer our prayers because we pray from the wrong motive. I remember a couple of years ago, I went to the Veterans Hospital over in Santa Monica upon the request of a mother. I went into a ward, and here was a young man home from Vietnam in his early 20s who was dying of a terrible disease. There's absolutely no cure, no known cure for this disease. And I went in to talk to this young man, prayed for him, and I just felt impressed in my heart to pray for healing. And I don't pray for healing for everybody that's sick. But I just felt impressed of God that God wanted to heal this young man of this disease. First time in my life I ever laid hands on anybody for healing. And I prayed for healing. And you know, miraculously, God touched that boy's body. Within about 3 months' time, he was discharged from the hospital. He went back for a 6-month checkup. The doctors could find absolutely nothing wrong with him. He went back a year later, and 3/4 of the boys in that ward that were there with the same disease were already dead. And God miraculously healed this boy. But you know, he never did live for God. He never did become faithful. I should think that if God took death out of my body, that I want to bow and praise his name every day that God gave me, wouldn't you? But he never did. And I want you to know that his mother, who was responsible for bringing me there, she wanted her boy to live for selfish reasons. To support her, to take care of her. And she would make that boy stay home with her rather than go to church. And now she has been afflicted with
terrible, terrible illness, and I believe Jesus had something to say about greater illness coming upon people. And I think you ought to be careful when you pray. Make sure you're praying from the right motive. Now, what is the right motive? What is the right motive? Jesus said in John 14:13, that Jesus said, anything you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. And my friend, if Jesus can get glory, if God the Father can get glory through your praying, then, in all probability, God's going to answer that prayer and answer it soon. So you look at yourself when prayer isn't answered. Your manner of living and your motive for praying. And then secondly, James tells us, we ought to look at our prayer. We ought to look at our prayer. Are you praying according to the will of God? Are you praying according to the will of God? He says, sometimes in verse 3, you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your own pleasures, that you might do your own thing rather than God's thing. You might do your will rather than God's will. You need to look at your prayer. Are you praying according to the will of God? Now listen carefully. 1 John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence that all things, whatever we ask in prayer, if it's according to His will, we know that He hears us and He gives us our request. If you are praying according to the will of God, every prayer prayed according to the will of God, God is honor-bound to answer. It is God's will that the lost be saved. And you can pray with boldness and with confidence that your lost friends be saved, and they shall be saved. There's no doubt about that. When you know the will of God, you can persist and keep on knocking, keep on seeking, as long as it's in the will of God. But listen, God will never answer a prayer other than saying no if that prayer is not according to the will of God. Now, I wish I had time tonight to teach you how to pray in the Spirit, because when you're praying in the Spirit always prays according to the will of God. If you want to learn how to pray in the Spirit, you enroll in my Basics for Spiritual Christian Living. We'll talk about how to pray in the Spirit. But you must, your prayer must be according to the will of God. Now listen to me just a moment. Someone comes to you and they ask you to pray for healing. Nearly 2 o'clock this morning, I came across a prayer request to pray for a 17-year-old boy who is eaten up with tumors. No hope that he can live. And you know, it's very difficult to pray for healing for somebody that you don't even know. And how do we know whether it's God's will to heal that particular person? Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully right now. I do not find it in the Word of God that it is God's will that everybody be healed. I do not find that teaching in the Scripture. Now, if you know a verse or verses and you can show me otherwise, I'm open to another interpretation. But I want you to know that when you come to the place of prayer, your prayer must be founded upon the fact of the Word of God, not upon your feelings. It's what God says in His Word. And that's why it's important that if you're going to be a prayer warrior, you must be bathed in the knowledge of the Scripture. My knowledge of the Word helps me to pray. And I think many times when people pray for healing for somebody, that they sort of get into this power of positive thinking thing, and what they really believe in is they believe in their believing. And they say, if I just believe it enough, that my belief will make it happen and come true. Now, that is not so. I think the only prayer God can answer is the prayer prayed according to the will of God. And we come to pray for healing for people. In fact, in our prayer chapel, I'm going to put in our little prayer manual a little section on how to pray for healing, how to know the will of God. If it's something you don't know God's will, how to discern the will of God. And I think basically, if you don't know whether something's the will of God, what you ought to do is you ought to pray like it is the will of God. And you pray for that thing until God either gives it to you, till God gives you assurance you're going to get it, or till God says, no, that's not my will. But thirdly, when prayer is not answered, when prayer seems to fail, you look at yourself, you look at your prayer, and then thirdly, you look to God. You look to God. Your problem may be in God. It may be that you fail to understand how God is answering your prayer. You know, many times we want God to answer our prayer our way. And the Bible teaches us that God sometimes answers prayer differently than we wanted Him to answer it. And I want you to notice something. God may be answering your prayer, and He may be answering it differently than you thought that He would answer that prayer. God sometimes answers differently. A good illustration of this is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. This is where Paul prayed for his thorn in the flesh to be removed. And Paul had some kind of a physical illness, and scholars have speculated what it was. I do not know. But Paul prayed 3 times for God to remove his thorn in the flesh. To remove this illness, either it was physical or emotional or whatever it was. He prayed 3 times. And he said that this illness was like an affliction that Satan had sent to buffet his body. And an amazing thing is that God answered Paul's prayer, but he answered it differently than Paul thought God was going to answer it. In verse 9, Paul says that the thing God said to him was, "Paul, I'm not going to remove that thorn. My grace is sufficient for thee." Hallelujah. "My grace is sufficient for thee. Paul, I know you wanted me to remove that illness, but in your case, I'm going to leave it there so that you'll learn to trust in me. And that thorn is going to be a constant reminder to you that you need me to make it through every day." Sometimes that's how God answers prayer. You see, we need to look to God. Sometimes he answers the prayer differently than we expected him to answer it. Now, by the way, this is so like the Lord. God's always doing things differently than man would do them. Now, I would think if I were going to bring the Savior of the world into the world, if I were going to bring the Jewish Messiah into the world, I'd have brought him in on a white horse like Alexander the Great. The word of Jesus came. He came to sleep with the horses, not on a horse. Bethlehem's manger. God always does it differently. I can just see Mary now. She's praying. The angel has come to her, told her she's going to have a son, Emmanuel, God with us, and Mary's praying, and she's probably got his baby room all picked out. She's praying for the Lord to give her a little white chest here and a little, you know, got it all planned out, and look where that baby's born. God does it differently. Many times God moves this way. And you know, God brought the gospel into the world. And you would have thought that God would have gone up to Rome and picked out the intellectuals in the Greek world. He had pulled out those intellectual giants and those philosophers in the Roman Empire. You would have thought when God wanted to spread the good news, he would have moved to the intelligentsia of the Roman Empire. Instead, he picked out some dumb fishermen in Galilee. God does it differently. Sometimes that's how God answers prayer, differently than we ever thought that he could. You know, pastors have to learn this the hard way. Several years ago, when I was pastoring a church in Oklahoma, we nearly had a church split. And I had some deacons that actually got in fist fights. It was over a school board squabble. And some of them wanted to consolidate and give up their little school across the street and move down to a bigger school toward town. The old people wanted to keep the school, and they got in fist fights. And I was praying about this problem in our church, and I was praying that God would remove some of those people, that God would cause them to go somewhere else or take them home to heaven, kill them, do whatever he had to do. And I was praying about that problem. I was praying about that problem. You know what the Lord did? He removed me. I was going away to preach a revival meeting, and I came back the next week, and there were my bags on the front porch of the parsonage. The deacons come in and move me out. Sometimes the Lord answers differently. So you need to look to God. Listen, sometimes God delays the answer. Sometimes God delays the answer, but listen carefully. Oh, this is precious truth. That when God delays the answer, he only does it for one reason. That he might answer it better. You see, God only has one gift for his children, and those are good gifts. Every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light. And my friend, if you've been praying for the salvation of a lost friend, if you've been praying for a particular job, if you've been praying for a certain thing, and the answer is delayed, I want you to know if God is delaying the answer, he is doing it so that he can answer it better. Better than you prayed it. By the way, I am so glad that God does not answer all my prayers. Because there have been many times in my life when I prayed amiss. Sometimes I didn't shoot high enough, and God had given me what I asked for, he had a short change. Aren't you glad God didn't answer all your prayers? You've prayed some pretty stupid prayers, friend. You really have, and I think the Lord sometimes just says, "Well, I'm going to have to hold off on that. Because if I answered it the way you're praying it, I couldn't give you all the love I want to give you." Let me give you 2 illustrations from the Bible. You remember way back in the Old Testament when Hannah was praying for a boy? She was barren in her old age. She wanted a son. She was praying for a boy, and she kept praying and kept praying, and it seemed like God wasn't going to answer. But when God did answer, he didn't just give her a boy. Praise God, he gave her Samuel, the great prophet of the Jewish faith. When God delays the answer, friends, so the answer is better. You look over in the first chapter of the book of Luke, and we find the story of the parents of John the Baptist, Zacharias, and his wife Elizabeth. And for many, many years, Elizabeth had been barren, and her husband was a priest in the Jewish ritual system, and they had been praying for a son. And they had prayed for a son for years and years and years. And I think it's about verse 13 of chapter 1 of Luke that the Bible says one day Zacharias was in the temple, and out of nowhere, an angel appeared. I think it was Gabriel, wasn't it? That's a pretty big shot angel. And Gabriel came to Zacharias. Now, I want you to see something that's very profound. Zacharias did not go to the temple to pray. He didn't go to the temple to pray for a son. He had quit praying for a son years ago. His wife was on Medicare. Too late to pray for a kid. And he had given up on that prayer. And Zacharias is in church just performing his priestly duties, getting ready for the altar of the incense. And here comes Gabriel. Gabriel says, I'm here in response to your prayer. Zacharias says, what prayer? Said, you prayed for a boy, didn't you? Zacharias says, not recently. But he says, I'm here in answer to your prayer. And the Greek language says, your prayer has been heard. And the tense of that verb indicates it was heard way back in the past, and I'm here to answer it right now. And God delayed the answer to Zacharias and Elizabeth's prayer for a son. He delayed the answer so he could answer it better. They prayed for a boy, and they got John the Baptist. Hallelujah. My soul. I said, God only gives good gifts to his children. I love to read Romans chapter 8. For the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And he that spared not his own son, shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You know what that verse says? My friend, if your life is right with God and you're on praying ground in fellowship with your Heavenly Father, praying according to the will of God, God may be delivering, may be delaying that answer. The answer may not be coming the way you think it ought to come. But God, who spared not his own son, if God would give his boy for you, don't you know that he'll give you anything else that you need? And when God answers it, he'll answer it better than you prayed. So God's delaying so that he can answer it better. Maybe you've been praying for a job. Maybe you're out of work and you've been praying for a job and God hasn't given you that job. Listen, if he hasn't given you that job, it's because he's got one better. Maybe you're a young person and you've been dating and you've just lost the love of your life. And you're just heartbroken. You're just crushed. You just knew that girl was the girl for you. You just knew that guy was the guy for you. And you were praying that God would bring the right person into your life. Listen, maybe you didn't aim high enough, because I want you to know, if God didn't give you that guy or God didn't give you that gal, he took Elmer Fudd out of your life to bring Prince Charming. Amen? Right. Many times we don't aim high enough. God delays the answer so he can answer it better. All right, let me conclude the message. When prayer doesn't work, what do? You look to your manner of living. You look at yourself. You look at your motive of praying. You look at your prayer and see if you're praying according to the will of God. You look to God. And as you look to God, you see if God is answering your prayer differently or if he's delaying the answer so that he can answer it better. And my friend, the key word is the word persistence. Once you've looked at your life and looked at your prayer and looked to God, you keep on seeking. You keep on knocking. And as you continue to persist, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 14 that as we come to the place of prayer, let us hold fast our confession. And Jesus, the high priest, himself will give us the desires of our hearts. God, help us to pray. Let's bow for prayer. Now the hour is late. Let me just say that if there's someone here tonight, you've been discouraged from your prayer life. You've laid down your weapons and Satan has you defeated. For some of you, the response you need to make to the invitation tonight is just to believe God. To look at your life and straighten it out. Get your motives straight. There's somebody here tonight that's not a Christian. And the reason your prayers aren't answered is because God's not your Father. You know, there's only one prayer God can answer for a lost man. And that's a prayer of God be merciful to me, a sinner, for Jesus' sake. You need to be saved tonight. If you'll pray that prayer, casting yourself upon the blood of Jesus the Messiah, the Savior, He'll forgive your sin tonight and God will start answering your prayer. Many of us have needs. Some of you have been thinking about joining this church and putting your life here. Some of you are not on praying ground and you haven't prayed because your heart's been condemning you. Feel like you don't have the right to pray. You need to come down to this altar tonight perhaps and just kneel and say, God, clean up my life. Put me back on praying ground. Whatever your need, we're going to pray God's will be done in your heart. Father, we praise you tonight for your patience and your love. Minister to each of us in our own way as you know our needs. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's